Well, it's wonderful to be with you this morning, and especially for this particular service, the installation of new elders and deacons, and the beginning of the new year. As I saw these men stand here, I was thinking back. In fact, a little surge of spiritual joy went through my heart as I saw these men standing here being installed into their offices, reminding me again of my days with you. And when these men were installed, and you've always had a large consistory here, it's a large congregation, but what a blessing that the Lord has raised up faithful servants. We thank those who have served here in the past so faithfully and wonderfully, and those who are retiring this year, and for all those who have been faithful to their calling, and certainly pray for those who have been installed this morning, and for your new pastor. Nice to be able to see him for the first time here, and all God's good blessings to you. We just praise the Lord again this morning for his wonderful mercies to us. Let's just offer a brief word of thanks and of prayer for the offerings that we were just received, and then also as you proceed into the Word of God this morning. Lord, we just draw near to you this morning in gratitude again for all your blessings. And Lord, may we realize again that you're the one who has blessed us. All the gifts that we have offered to you this morning, also these faith promise offerings, have been, first of all, entrusted to us in the resources and the monies that we possess to be able to support your church and kingdom in its ministry here and in its outreach. We thank you, Lord, for all the labors and tasks that take place here in your church, and continue to bless your people here abundantly, that in giving their praise and thanks and service to you, they in turn may receive much blessing and joy for their lives. So we pray this now as we anticipate hearing your word this morning, that it may challenge us and direct us again in this new year. This we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I want to read the scripture this morning, dear friends in Christ, from the first book of Chronicles, chapter 29. I thought this would be a very fitting passage to focus on this morning. For, again, the occasion of the installation of new office bearers, but also as we stand at the beginning of this new year. So we will be reading the first portion of this chapter, 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. Notice it's entitled, at least in our version, Gifts for Building the Temple. This is the word, then, of our living and holy God to us. Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great, because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources I have provided for the temple of my God, gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble, all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God. Over and above everything, I have provided for this holy temple 3,000 talents of gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the buildings, for the gold work and the silver work, and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord?" Then the leaders of families, the officials of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave to the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Any with precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. I will go this far. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning and also our meditation on it for our instruction and inspiration this morning. At the beginning of another year, dear friends, people often, as you know, make some New Year's resolutions. Maybe some of you have made a few for the year that is before you. For example, you may have resolved that you will do less television watching this year if you spending too much time in front of the TV screen. Or if you have spent too much money on things that you don't really need, you may have resolved this new year that you're not going to be doing that. You're going to watch your checkbook a little more closely in your expenditures. Or if you've been busy and maybe neglected your family life somewhat in the last year, you may resolve to devote more time to your children and family and to be at home more often. Or if you are a student here this morning and you didn't do too well the last semester, you didn't try as well as you should have, you may resolve to do better on your courses this coming semester. On the other hand, you may also be a person, like there are many, who doesn't believe in making New Year's resolutions. You can't keep them anyway, you say. By the time you rip the month of January from the calendar, you say you've already broken the resolutions you have made. And I agree that making New Year's resolutions often doesn't always mean a great deal or lead to all that much change. And yet I think that as Christians, we shouldn't be too hesitant either to reevaluate our lives from time to time, whether now at the beginning of another year or any time during the course of the year, and see how we are doing and what we need to change or improve in doing in our lives. Because we are all creatures of habit and we tend to fall into certain ruts in our lives, some of which we need to get out of. And that's also true of our spiritual life. Often the reason our Christian life is spiritually at a low ebb, is simply not as strong as it should be, is because we've never made a determined resolution to do anything about it. We've never taken concrete steps to change our ways and to start anew or over again. Rather than aiming at a higher level of consecration to God, we complacently walk or continue to walk in the same old paths as before. And therefore, on this first Sunday of 2018, let me just lay before you a challenge or a call from God for this new year. And that call comes in the form of a question, which I hope you will answer with a definite and positive answer. The question is the one that is raised in our scripture text for this morning. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 5b, the last part of that verse, it asks all of us, or David then through the Spirit asks us, now who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? Who is willing to consecrate himself to the Lord? And I hope the answer and the resolution that each of you will give to this call is, I will consecrate myself to the Lord today. Let's, for a little while, look at this call. First of all, noting to whom it comes. Then we'll look at what that call demands. And thirdly and lastly, we'll consider how we must respond to the call that God gives us today, which is a call to consecration. But first, to whom does that question come? Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? Well, it was King David who originally raised that question to a large assembly of leaders and officials in Israel whom he had summoned for a special occasion to Jerusalem. We read in 1 Chronicles 28, the chapter before, verse 1, David summoned all the officials of Israel to assemble at Jerusalem, the officers over the tribes, the commanders of the divisions in the service of the king, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, And the officials in charge of all the property and livestock belonging to the king and his sons, together with all the palace officials, the mighty men and all brave warriors. And so this was quite an assembly. The government leaders and the military leaders of the entire nation of Israel were summoned by David to Jerusalem. And why? What was the occasion? Well, David was about to step down from his position as the king of Israel. He was about to hand over the reins of power to his son and successor, Solomon. But before stepping down from the throne, David wanted to deliver a farewell address and present a final important challenge to all his subordinates. And the nub of it is contained in the words of our text, that ringing question, now who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? You see, David always had a burning desire in his life. There was one thing he always wanted to do. And you may remember what it was. His chief desire had been to build a house for the Lord, a temple for his God. He always had it on his heart. He could hardly bear the thought that while he himself was living in a beautiful palace, the Ark of the Lord, which symbolized the presence of God among his people, had no permanent place to stand, no building in which it could be fittingly and honorably housed. And so we read in 1 Chronicles 28 that David shared with his officials this earnest desire he always had had. He told them, listen to me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house as a place of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and I made plans to build it. God said to me, you are not to build a house for my name because you are a warrior and have shed blood. And then in verse 6 of that same chapter, David related what God had told him. Instead, he said to me, Solomon, your son is the one who will build my house and my courts, for I've chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. And so even though David had wanted to build a temple for God, God would not allow him to, because he was a man of war. And you know, God wasn't condemning David for being that. This is how the king of Israel had been firmly established through David's military victories. But God wanted a man of peace to build a house, and Solomon would reign in peace over the kingdom of Israel, and so his would be the task of building God a temple. Now, what we should note, and what I find striking, is that even though David was not permitted to build a temple for God, he didn't therefore throw in the towel, so to speak, and say, well, I guess God doesn't want my work and service for him, and so I'll just forget it. I'll sit back and do nothing. No, David never gave up his burning desire to honor God. He always retained his zeal and love for God's house. And that's what we read about in 1 Chronicles 29 then this morning, where David tells the assembly of his officials standing in front of him, my son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great. David means the task of building the temple, because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. And then listen to what David said. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God. Gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, wood for the wood, and all kinds of fine stone and marble, all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of God over and above everything else. I have provided 3,000 talents of gold and 7,000 talents of refined silver. You know, that shows something of David's tremendous love for God and his temple. Those talents, by the way, I'm not talking about here gifts as we think of talents, but these were monetary talents. 3,000 of gold, 7,000 of silver were an amazing amount of money. As your NIV Bibles will say in the footnote, David gave 110 tons of gold and 260 tons of silver Now, think of how valuable that would be today. Probably worth billions of dollars. But the point is, this man really wanted to serve the Lord in whatever way he could. He had a burning consecration to God. That's clear. And now he wanted his servants to share in that devotion to God. That's why he asks them, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? Who wants to join me in committing his efforts, his labors, his talents to the service of God? And you see, congregation, that's a good question for all of us here this morning. Well, we have been summoned here to be in the presence of God and have installed new office bearers to serve in this congregation. To be sure, we're not called to build a material temple or church for God. You have already a beautiful facility here. In fact, God's temple is not really even a building, right? It's not really a building. Rather, we as God's church are the temple of God, says Scripture. We are the community of believers who constitute the temple or the house of God. And the question, therefore, that comes to all of us here is, are you then, as part of that temple, willing to consecrate yourself to the Lord today? Sometimes we like to transfer that question to others instead of ourselves. In the church, we think of the pastor. He better really be consecrated to the Lord. And just like the priests of the Old Testament were consecrated and specifically ordained to serve the Lord in the tabernacle and temple. And well, the office bearers, the elders and the deacons, God's called them to serve him. They better be consecrated to the Lord in their calling. They're the spiritual leaders, like the ones David summoned to Jerusalem. And that's true. That's why we do install them and have them answer the questions that they will faithfully discharge their duties in the church. But the fact is, the call to consecration comes to every church member. We all need to be devoted to God and his church, just as David was to God and the building of his house. We all need to commit our lives and efforts to serve God faithfully in his church and in his kingdom, so that we remain true and dedicated, a dedicated temple of God in this world. At the same time, we also need to strengthen our own personal faith and commitment to God and to his kingdom. That's not only a task for a few. That's a duty we all share. The church must never be like a football game. There have been lots of bowl games played in the last weeks. Thousands and thousands of people have sat there cheering on the 22 players on the field. Thousands of spectators doing little more, actually, than sitting or standing in the bleachers, looking on a few players doing all the action and all the competing. Well, let that not be true of the church. We're all playing. We're all serving. We're all engaged in honoring our God. Let us this new year consecrate ourselves anew to make this church a living temple of God. But how do you ask, can we do that? Well, let's look secondly this morning and more specifically at what the call God issues demands of us. Who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? That's the question. Now, how do we answer it? And so let me just give you a few. Well, let me give first of all one resolution that you, each of you, must make for yourself in 2018. As believers in Christ, each of us needs to resolve that he or she will grow in our faith, in our love, in our commitment, in our service to Christ this year. In fact, I hope that you will go home today and make for yourself in your mind at least some plan of how you are going to grow closer to God this year. First of all, begin with your own personal walk with Christ. Set a time when you will have your own personal devotions every day. Then get out your Bible and put your name in it if it isn't in there yet. And then put a piece of paper inside of it and write down a Bible book or a chapter that you're going to read. And when you've read it, you put a check behind it. And then just sit there and close your eyes for a moment and think about what you have just read. And offer a quiet prayer to God that He may help you to understand and to live by His Word. And offer Him your thanks and your confession and your praise and your requests and intercessions. And tomorrow, do it again. The next day, again. And check off the chapters as you read them so you are encouraged and reminded you have spent some time with God each day. I guarantee you how that will transform your life if you keep that up faithfully. Who will consecrate himself today to the Lord? What about the call this question poses for us as members of the church? And as members of this congregation to which we belong, which is really my main focus this morning. And let me briefly mention three ways in which we can consecrate ourselves to serving the church of Christ, which is His body, understand, which is His bride, which He has purchased with His own precious blood. We belong to Him. First of all, pray for the church. Pray for the church. And begin with your own congregation here. And do that daily. It may seem so simple, but it's so crucial. And it's something that every one of us can do. Pray that Christ will make us and keep us a living, serving, obedient church for His glory. Pray for the office bearers of the church, that their zeal may never diminish, that they may serve Christ faithfully in leading and guiding His flock. Pray for your pastor as he preaches the gospel and the word of God in all of its fullness and power. Pray for your youth director in his ministry among you, and in particular for the youth and young adults of the congregation, that he may guide them and instruct them diligently and well. Pray for every one of you who is called at some point to lead or to instruct in the various groups and ministries that you have going on, the catechism and the Sunday school classes, I understand, are beginning again this morning too, that these may all bear fruit. Pray for the outreach of this church through local evangelism or through the work of missionaries that you support or through other opportunities you have to be the hand and feet and the voice of Christ. Pray for your fellow members. Thank God for His blessings to them, but also uphold them before God in their times of need, in their times of sickness, in their times of sorrow, in their discouragements, in their weaknesses. So let's consecrate ourselves anew this year to pray for God's church. And then secondly, let's also consecrate ourselves again to the faithful worship of God. It's the heartbeat of the church's life. If you have slacked off in your church attendance here on Sundays, or you're here this morning, but you're not consistent, if you've neglected to return again to God's house in the evening, renew your commitment and desire for worshiping God. Even at those times, which we all have, I think, we may not be in the mood to worship, to come here, but do so anyway and let the Spirit of God fall afresh on you. Because, you know, when we sing the songs of Zion, as we did here this morning, when we sit and meditate in the quietness of prayer, when we hear the Word of God read and explained and our hearts are open to it, the showers of the Spirit will descend on us and we will leave guaranteed with a blessing. There's no better way to begin than with the public worship of God. And thirdly, love the church and its fellowship, despite all of its failings and weaknesses. Don't ever take it for granted that this is your spiritual family. There are always plenty of people, you know, who will criticize the church, poke fun at it, or say, well, it's irrelevant today. But for us, it is the communion of saints, of those who are called out of sin to serve God. It's where we experience a sense of belonging in a world where there is so much isolation. It's here where we experience the love of God in a world of indifference and of hate. Oh, I know we're still a collection of sinners with many shortcomings. But as David was devoted to the God's house, let us be devoted to the church as well and to its well-being. For here we find our fellowship and joy together. And as we noted earlier, God, you know, offered his monetary talents for the future needs of God's temple because he recognized that though he was the ruler of Israel, he was a man of great wealth, obviously, he knew it had all been given to him by God. Never forget that. All that you have is only a gift from God, so you may give it again. David recognized that he was indeed a man who was richly blessed by God. In his beautiful prayer, before all the assembly of his officials and military, he said, Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You're exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. Well, let's recognize God is the ruler and giver of all things for us too. So let us consecrate ourselves anew in our giving and in all of our devotion to the church, where Christ himself is our King. And so let me conclude this morning by noting thoroughly, and lastly, what our response then should be to this call of God for the new year. How will you answer the question? Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? Who is willing? And I hope your answer will be that you will give this definitive, positive response. I am willing, Lord, to offer myself, to consecrate myself to you. Count me in. I offer my heart to you, Lord, promptly and sincerely, as was the motto of John Calvin. Did you notice in our scripture reading how the officials of Israel responded to David's challenge? What was their response to this call for consecration to the Lord? Did they say to their king, sorry, David, but we can't help you right now. We're not in a position to do what you ask. There's too much else that's demanding our time and our resources at the moment. Or did they respond to the king, well, we'll give it some thought. You've given us some good ideas this morning. We'll certainly consider them, and we'll see what we can do. Is that what our response should be? Oh, no. Listen to their inspiring and enthusiastic response to the king's challenge. As we read in verse 6, then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave toward the work of the temple of God. Note, they gave willingly. And when all the people saw this response from their leaders, we read in verse 9, the people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king rejoiced greatly also. What an exemplary response. What a great response. Because it proceeded, you see, from a willful and joyful spirit. It was from their hearts. And now it is in that spirit that you and I also, I trust, will respond as we offer our service to God again this new year. Let it come from the heart. Let it be a consecration that is willingly given and freely offered. That's how we should pray to God and worship him. That's how we should give to him and serve him in all the various duties that must take place in the church or outside the church. Not because we have to, but because we want to. It is our desire. Then all of us as God's people will be joyful. And Christ our King will rejoice. Your pastor began this morning with the expression of that we ought to come here with joy and gladness each week again. Because you see, a consecrated people is a happy people. Willing servants are joyful servants. A committed church is a joyful church. What kind of year will this be for you, your life, and also as members of God's church? Let it be a year of consecrated service to Christ, our Savior and King, and head of the church which he loves and to which we belong. Who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? May your answer be, Lord, take myself, and I will be consecrated unto thee. Let's pray.